Have you got anything you'd like to bring to church tonight, or you got a way to get your stuff, your turkeys in a row? Okay. Appreciate it, Brother Richie. glad that you're with us tonight and able to be with us. Brother James and his wife is back with us. They were sick last week or two. They get feeling good enough to be back with us. We appreciate that. A lot of sickness, I tell you. And I think it's went through everybody's family. I tell you, I believe it's went through everybody's family. I hope everybody had a good day today. Hope everybody had a good day. Like the old boy is going to work and catch the bus and it's raining. He said, told his wife, said, give me your umbrella. She said, I'm not going to do it. You go out there and face it yourself. Because every time I give you my umbrella, you went to work, you left it, you ain't brought never one of them back to me. So face that rain without no umbrella. So he takes off and gets on the bus and he sits down by a Quaker. And they don't say too many words, but when he gets off, the Quaker had an umbrella. And the man just grabbed his umbrella, just unthinking, just got off with the Quaker's umbrella. Went on to work, you know, and he said, well, I got to do a good deed today, so I'm going to get all the umbrellas of my wife that I have kept all these years that I hadn't brought back. I got them all together in his arms, and he's going to carry them back home to her. So he got back on the bus, and guess who he sat down by? That same Quaker. And the Quaker just looked at him and says, brother, thou hast had a good day. So I hope you've had a good day. I don't know about your umbrellas. Thou has had a good day. In our announcement, we have a revival there. Jackie Sinclair over at Twin Rivers Baptist Church and Darwin Griffin from Second Baptist Church will be their speaker. And they have a revival starts on April the 14th through the 19th. And I think that 14th is on a Monday, is it not? I think it is. It says Monday through 14th through the 19th, and that's probably on a Monday. And it's at 7 o'clock if y'all would like to attend. So keep that. Is it? It don't say, it just says the date. It's on Sunday through the 19th. So, y'all keep that on your mind. I'll try to mention it again Sunday if I don't forget about it. And I know I won't. Okay. You have your prayer list. We'll be going over our prayer list. We don't have anybody on our prayer list. We had Susie on there for a couple of weeks. We should have done tuck her off. We tried to get her tucked off, but she's not with us tonight. And anybody, you know, if anything's wrong with that bunch, we hadn't seen Sammy and Susie now for, they weren't here last week. You know, hadn't heard anything from them? I don't know. she was better. Then they said Sammy was sick. And that was last Wednesday, was a week ago. I hadn't heard from them. But Wayne Carter brought the kids that he picks up, and then he said he had to leave and go back, something about Bonnie. So I don't know, Sammy, if Bonnie got worse or not. I don't know what condition she's in right now. She's not doing too good, so that may be the reason Sammy's not here. I don't know. But anyway, we keep them on our mind anyway. But do we have any others on our church family prayer list, our church family? Anybody on our church family is in the hospital, sick, anything besides remembering one another? Remember Nancy, she had teeth pulled. Oh, I hear you. Bless her heart, teeth pulled. I feel for her. Remember Nancy. Sue and Sandy McCumber, they've been sick, and also they have some death in some of their family down in Florida, I think, and but remember them. Anyone else on our church family before we go into our extended family, our church family? A lot of people of our family members have been sick with this old whatever. We don't know what it is, but who? Joe? Nancy told me he had the flu. That's what she told me Sunday. So you just don't get rid of it 2 or 3 days. So I guess that's probably what they steal along. You think you're getting better, and the next day you're worse again. I don't know what it is. It's bad stuff anyway. But we'll just remember, if anybody knows anything about them, let us know. We still have a lot of people, like I say, is out and sick. Yeah. I think he come down with it Sunday, and he couldn't be able to make it. Huh? Yeah. And, okay, just remember, anybody got any spoken requests this hour? All right, a bunch of people sick, asked us, we pray for them. We got a lot of prayers. But we'll go in our extended church family. We have our senior adults. Brother Vernon, anybody have any updates on these, let us know. Brother Vernon. Good. Still in good spirits, I guess. He's a pleasure. Good. Miss N.E., glad to see her able to be with us tonight. You see Miss Aldine also? We appreciate you, Judy. We really do. All the cards and visits that she makes, we appreciate her. And all the ladies that's going and everybody that's visiting. Susie Griffin, I didn't see Jerry here this past week. I don't know what's wrong with them. Irene Mobley, glad to see our senior adults as my mother. Junior Dennison, anybody heard from him lately? He was doing pretty good last week. Checked on him. Junior and Dorothy Sapp, I checked on them. They still doing about like they were. Jeanette Lohman. Good. I don't know about Yvonne. She weren't doing too good. Marcia's not with us tonight. I don't know if she's been a doctor's office or sick or what's going on with her family, but she's not doing good at all. Grace Harris. Mr. Cowan ain't feeling too good. He can get over that stuff too quick either, is he? Remember Brother Calvin. Mr. Betty Sapp. Do we have any more of our senior adults? If not, we'll go into our extended church family. We had several people that's been mentioned. John R. Aspinwall passed away, and his funeral will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Music Funeral Home. Viewing will be from 10 until 11. The funeral starts at 11. A lot of you know John R. Aspinwall and his son Johnny. It used to be members of this church, or Johnny did, and his wife and his kids. His son Johnny passed away. I guess it's been 20 years ago. I don't know how long. It's been a pretty good while. Probably at least 20 years. I imagine half. But anyway, his father passed away. He's 84 years old, I believe. Huh? 87? Okay, 87 years. But I want to remember him. I mean him. Remember the family tomorrow. We've been asked to put on our prayer list Jane Alday. Who called us with cancer? Okay. Jane Alday has cancer. Don't know where and how bad, but it's bad if it's cancer regardless, I know. Megan Morgan. Megan Morgan. Huh? Is it Morgan Sweat? Okay. Well, maybe another one that I've got here then. That's one that's in Savannah? Okay, from birth problems, right?
Thank you.
Megan. Where I got Megan down? Morgan Sweat. Butch McDuff. Problem with his heart. Brother Jim told me about him. I don't know him, but Butch McDuff was asked out on our extended church family. And is it Zachary Taylor, little girl at 6 weeks old? Is that right? Zoe Naylor, okay. Okay, so remember that baby, and I think you said when they were going to try to put IV in,
they were going to put an IV in her yesterday. They couldn't get it through her arm. They tried
to get it Okay. It takes a while, even if you're on antibiotics, so I can tell you that. I'm telling you, they're tough.
Remember Ron Craig, too. He has a colonoscopy.
Just remember him. Timmy Smith was at Jacksonville St. Vincent yesterday. We've been in the hospital in Waycross for about 3 days, and they sent him to St. Vincent for a heart cath, and they put a stent in him, and he done good, and was supposed to come home the day. I hadn't heard from him. But also his aunt was in the same hospital with her heart problem, Bobby Landon. Has anybody heard from her today? Have you heard, Vonis? They was in there they had to do a cath on her to find out that she had a problem with that air valve, our main artery valve, and they was going to do a cath on her. She's about there then whenever I led and how long it's going to be to see what, when, and how, what they're going to do about that. But they're going to call me, but they never did, so I don't know what the extent of her problem is. That's Bobby Landon. We have quite a few there on our extended church family. I don't know. Anyone else that we need to? Robert Taylor. I don't remember, Jimmy. Robert Taylor? Anybody know Robert Taylor? Anyone else, we have any updates on any of our cancer patients on our extended church family or anybody that y'all know of that y'all need to bring forth? Any updates? Any updates? I can't think of anyone else. There's a lot of people sick. Anyone else?
I did have a thought from down ranking in Paul Smith at meeting, but his mother on the prayer list, I think she's 95 years old. She's got pneumonia.
Paul Smith, 95 years old. Yeah. That pneumonia is bad at any age, but I'm sure that age it surely is a lot worse. A lot of people sick. Anyone else? If not, Brother Stevie Sweat, he's feeling a little bit better. He's been sick for a week or two also, so I know he's feeling better tonight. Thank the Lord, me too. But we'll ask Brother Steve, if you would, to lead us in prayer. Thank you, Brother Stevie. All right, last week we've been in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 of Hebrews for a while. Probably stick here for a while as the Lord carries me somewhere else. Dealing with faith for the family, just about taking verse by verse, and I got to reading about old Isaac. I reckon we're going to read about him a lot because that's my name also. Last week, I think we studied about Isaac. I'm not sure. That seemed like a long time ago last week when I wasn't feeling too good. But it seemed like we studied about Abraham offering Isaac for a sacrifice. Am I correct? I don't really know for sure where I was at. But anyway, we see Isaac's family this week, you know. And as you think about it, the Old Testament saints, you think maybe they had perfect families and they was perfect. And also the New Testament saints. But you'll find out just because they're in the Bible, they're saints of God, and we are too. But you know what? We find out that their family is made out of clay, just like our family. And that God makes a difference. As we look into their life, Isaac's family, as we draw a conclusion from the lessons, that we find out that Isaac really had a dysfunctional family. And I tell you what, the world is full of dysfunctional families today, and especially in our country. And the Bible says these things happen to them for our example. We might look into, and I had a really good time looking into this and seeing the problem that they had in their family and families today. You know, they think today, most people think that our social structure today, or what we should say, the circumstances that really defines family, and how circumstances in our society changes and our family should change, way society change, but that is not true. Families do not have to change because society changes, because families are based on the Word of God. God. So don't let anybody tell you that you see that most people believe, you know, well, things are changing. And in fact, the president himself, and I don't even call his name from this pulpit, but I'll tell you, the president said himself that he is involving. He's involved, but he's involved in. And I think he was talking about same-sex marriage when he was saying that. Now, I don't know. A lot of people say that you come from a monkey, and we all come from a monkey, and he is involving. I don't know what he's talking about that. But anyway, he's changed his mind on same-sex marriages because our society is changing. Well, whenever we leave the Word of God, families may change. But if we stick with the Word of God, you'll find out that families won't change. God said it. God made it. And, you know, see, God, he's the one that put families together. And the first institution that God created was family before he created the great governments, you know, in this country that we have today, that they was families. And we see a lot of dysfunctional families. And why we see some dysfunctional families? Because they have put away the Word of God. And that's for me, and that's for you, and that's for our country, and that's for the world. God's Word don't change. And even back in the time of the Old Testament, that people didn't go by the Word of God, we'll find out they had dysfunctional families also. They had problems, just like we have problems, because I tell you, there are no perfect families. And that includes my family, and that includes your family. And I can say today that I have made some mistakes in my family. Have you made any mistakes in your family? I have made a bunch of mistakes in my family. All of them could have been corrected by the Word of God if I would have heeded and done everything that I should have done. But we find out that people don't do that. Even old patriarch Isaac, we find out he had a very, very dysfunctional family because, you see, he wanted to help God out so many times, and he was really a schemer himself. I had a good time reading and searching on this, but, you know, the idea of civilization, they try to define families, and you see family is being defined different in all parts of the world, and we're headed for it in our country today. What really defines family is what society says, what family and how they ought to function, but what God says is altogether different than what man says. God says, you know, one wife, one man, forever, and that's what he said. Father, we're going to be the leader of the home. Father's supposed to be the leader of this. But you see, it's all changed. But there have been two societies that really disintegrated because they've done away with what we call the traditional family, what God calls the traditional family. And that was a Greek civilization in 300 B.C. and also the Romans in about 33 A.D. because of the family deterioration. And I'm telling you, it's coming to our country right here in the United States. Why? Because dysfunctional family is going to destroy our society as we know of it. And it all boils back down to the Word of God. All of our problems stem from that. But we have a dysfunctional family. Look across our nation. And today, that's what's happened. They are not dealing with the Word of God as they should. And we have dysfunctional families this day. After this Easter spirit, you know, today, and I was thinking about this Easter spirit, and I was reading where a young man in school, and they had this Easter spirit, and they was fixing to get out for the holidays, and the professor gave him a test, and, you know, he didn't know the answer to one of the questions, and he said, you know, maybe I get by with this being this Easter spirit. He says, that's a hard question there, professor. When he turned his paper in, he says, God on this point knows that. Thought he might get by with it. But the professor tits his papers and wrote him back and said, you know, God gets 100 and you get a 0. There's some things that God knows and some things that we know, and we need to get interested in what God lets us know, because because you see, there's some things that God knows that we'll never know, but there's some things that God wants us to know as we zero in on the things that he wants us to know. And I have a favorite verse of scripture that I like to tell people when they ask me some questions. There ain't no way in the world for you to answer them, like where did Cain get his wife and all kind of stuff. You know, they want to get you away on another subject and ask you about this. And man, no way for you can really tell them exactly the answer to all these different type of questions people answer you. But I always tell them, yeah, I know that answer. I know that answer. What is it? I tell them, you just go read Deuteronomy 29 and 29. Y'all know what it says? Y'all know what it says? It says, the secret things belongs unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belongs unto us and our children forever, that we may do all the words in this law. Those secret things belongs to God, and you're not never going to know. But the things he chooses to reveal to us is for us and our children. And he's dealing with all this about our family life today. And it's very, very important. And I wish I had depended more on the Word of God and raising my family. But I'm glad for one thing, that I look at Isaac's life, and I don't know if I'll get through with these here four chapters or not tonight, but I look into Isaac's life, and he had a very dysfunctional family. But one thing about it, God did never quit loving him and his family. And he kept on changing them. So I got to say one thing, God, I thank you for you keep on loving me and all the mistakes that I made, but I thank you that you love my family. Are you thanking God that he loves your family? And look at mistakes that you made, mistakes that I made. We say, Lord, the mistakes that Isaac made, and thank you, God, that you still love us. And you still work in our life as he worked in the life of Isaac also. So the future fate for the family, he chose to reveal to us in his word. We have Isaac's future and Isaac's family and Isaac's faith. And as I said, you know, he had a scheming mother. Did y'all know that? He really had a scheming mother and a sneaky son and really a worldly or sensual father and just an old sorry brother. Now, that sounds like a lot of families today, don't it? I tell you, it sounds like a lot of families. Let's look at this for just a moment from Genesis chapter 25, we'll go back, but I like to read Hebrews 11 and 20, where we're going to bounce off as a springboard. It says there in Hebrews chapter 11 and 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now let us pray. Father, we want to thank you here this night. Lord, we know there have been a lot of sickness. Father, we just want to thank you for the ones that's able to be here tonight. And Father, many of them probably still don't feel good, but there are so many, God, that's on our prayer list and our prayer box, God, that we need to be praying for one another, especially for those that ask us to pray for them and remember in prayer this night. It's a great honor and opportunity for Christian people to ask another Christian person to pray for them. And those all that don't even know the Lord, we just want to pray for those, Lord, that's asked us to pray for them, the unspoken request. And Father, it's one of the greatest privileges that we have as a Christian on this side of eternity to have the power to pray through the name of Jesus Christ, a living Savior, Lord. And we want to thank you and praise you for everything that you're doing. And Father, we just want to thank you again for Brother Richie and his wife, Heather, Lord, and for the work that they are doing in the foreign countries. Father, we know that all these countries belongs to you. It's not just America. Father, it's not even just Pierce County. It's all people of the world. And we just want to thank you for your great love and your mercy. Father, for the families that's represented here this night, and Father, for all the families of our church, we want to say thank you for blessing us in a very special, special way. And all this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As we go back to Genesis chapter 25, 26, and 27, there's several of these chapters can dealing with this subject about Isaac and his family. But I'd like to read a verse or two in chapter 25. I'll be telling you, most of you ain't got time to read three chapters. But anyway, it says in chapter 25 and verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, didn't have any kids, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And here's what the Lord told her. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from their bowels. And the one shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, that's Esau and Jacob, the great war, I'm telling you. But that's two different men, come from the same home and come from the same mother. Now, last week we seen where Abraham offered Isaac up, and he was really illustration of Jesus Christ. But now we see now that old Isaac be an old man now. And we look and see that he had two sons born, Esau and Jacob, as we read this. Now in verses 21, as I read 21 through 23, that we find out that God had a divine plan already. And we see that in this last verse, you know, where God says, you know, the younger the elder shall serve the younger. Now, in that, we find a little bit of divine planning. God already told her before they was born. You see, God got some divine plans for us. And that divine plan is sometimes hard for us to understand. Excuse me. Romans 9 and verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also shall receive by one, even by the father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. In Romans 9:13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. There are some divine plans for these boys, and it says that in the Bible. And you hear that last word that he hates. A lot of people have a problem with that word. You know, God hates Esau. Does God really hate anybody? You could really put it this way. God chose Esau. God chose Jacob. He didn't choose Esau. He chose him. But now Luke chapter 14 and 26 helps to clear this up. A lot of people have asked me about that many, many times. You know, about that word hate. Did God hate anybody? And then he bring it down to a little closer level. We might understand it now. In Luke chapter 14 and 26, it says, if any man comes to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. A lot of people ask me about that. Is God telling me to hate my mother and my father? And I tell him it's kind of like this. It's kind of like, you know, it's talking about love. It's not talking about hate. And my love for God should be so strong that would make my love for my wife or my kids seem like hate upside the love of God. I mean, we can't, we don't have any definition or any put anything up that God's love, he loves us so much. We don't have any examples to go by to put it up. But that'd be one thing, that I would love God so much, he'd love me so much, he'd be like me, you know, that I would hate my wife upside the love that he has for me or my children, either one. But this word hate means kind of the same thing. It don't mean despise our families. Choose Jesus Christ above everyone else. That's what it means. That we choose Jesus Christ above everyone else. Many people, you know, they say, well, we don't have time to come and worship Jesus Christ on Sunday because of families and this, that, and other. Well, which is the most lasting relationship, you or your family or you or your Lord? Because one of these days, me and my wife, we're going to part companies. We thought we was going to do it today. We had some words on the way to church. Most of them was hers. No, not really. But one of these days, we are going to separate in our life. I know that I'm going tomorrow to do a funeral there for John R. Aspinwall and his wife. I think they was together 67 years. They've been married 67 years. But there come a time, if both of them don't go at the same time, there'd be separation. And your relationship with the Lord is going to last longer than your relationship for your mate, your family, your friends, and your loved ones. And that's what he's talking about. We ought to have time. But yet before they was born, there was divine election. I ain't going to get half star. Anyway, divine election. You hear that word, divine election, or foreknowledge, or election. You ever heard predestination? Sometimes that kind of scares us, but it's all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. Some things we'll never understand about election. And there ain't no way I could explain them because I don't understand them to explain all of them. But the things we need to understand is what God tells us about divine election. Remember I said Deuteronomy 29:29, and some things we can understand and some things that we will never understand about God. And if we could understand, people try to understand everything about the Bible, everything about God. If you could understand everything about the Bible, you'd be God, because this is God's mind. You're not never going to understand, but you can understand what God wants you to understand, because that was by divine revelation and illumination by the Holy Spirit of God. God predestined certain things is going to happen. Did y'all know that? He predestined certain things going to happen. Somebody say, well, what's going to be? Going to be, so be. It is. But see, God predestined some things. Some believe, you know, predestination is talking about people. Some of them are predestined to hell. Some people are predestined to heaven. But you know, that's not correct. God don't predestine anybody to go to hell. But once you're saved, he predestines you to go to heaven. In fact, when you're saved, you're just as good as in heaven. You've been there 10,000 years. But God don't predestine anybody to go to hell. And when he predestines you to go to heaven, you're going to heaven and nothing can stop it. I like that when he says, you know, I have the keys of death and keys of hell. You know what? I can't go to hell. Anybody ever told you to go to hell? Some people get really bold with you, you know, sometimes. But you see, I can't go to hell. Are you bragging? No, I ain't bragging on myself. And I tell you what I am bragging on. I'm bragging on Jesus Christ, because I can't go to hell. You know, that's a good thought, isn't it? I can't go to hell. But anyway, you know, he don't intend for anybody to go to hell anyway. I got 3 or 4 scriptures for you to read tonight. Here it says, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. And the Spirit, here in Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride says, come, and let him that hears say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. 1 Timothy 2:3, for this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. I thank you. Whosoever, that means anybody wants to be saved, can be saved. That he didn't press nobody to go to hell. One old country preacher explained it by, like, I ain't got sense enough to explain about election, how it works. He said, here's the way it works. God voted for you, and the devil voted against you. He says, and you got the casting vote. But you see, that's absolutely right. God votes for you. But the devil also votes for you. And who? God has put a soul in our hand to decide that casting vote. And you said, I will, O Lord. You casted your vote on the side of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Two makes a majority. Devil, you win. I'm going to a place called heaven. God has an overruling in man's history. We know that. In this country we're in, or the world we're in, God overrules. And God's never been out of control. He's always been in control. I got to think about this. I don't know if... Richard, you fly one of them 747s, one of them big ones? Anyway, he gets on a little big old plane, and Richie goes from the United States to Africa sometimes. All right, he has a pilot, a co-pilot, and probably a navigator. I've never been on a big plane before. I just got to think about Richie today, and this popped in my mind. Now, Richie can probably sleep, or if he wants to, or he don't have to sleep. He can probably eat something if he wants to, or he don't have to eat something. He can probably read, or he don't have to read. He might can get up and walk around, or he don't have to walk around. He might can stand up, or if he wants to, he might can sit down. But the whole time, the plane is going to a determined destination. God the Father is the pilot. God the Son is a co-pilot. And the Holy Spirit of God is a navigator. Now, we all on the plane. There's certain things that we can do as we begin to fly to our destination. As Richard does, you get up, you can sit down. You can walk around, or you can not walk around. You can sleep, or you can whatever. Certain things this country can do. Certain things this world can do. But this whole world, God's still the pilot. And the Son is the co-pilot, and to navigate to this world through the power of God, and it's going to the destination that God said this world is going to. No matter what mankind, we can do a lot of things and make a lot of choices, as Richie do on that plane. But that pilot and that co-pilot and that navigator is carrying that plane to a predetermined destination. And we may do this, and we may have wars, and we decide to do this, and Washington thinks they're strong, and we make decisions, the politics does this, and all they do is eating, standing up, or sitting down, walk around, and sitting down. But God is still in control, and He's moving this great vessel somewhere, and it's going to a destination one day that God has predetermined for this country and this world, and you and I also is going to. In my life, I'm like a plane. See, this life that I'm living, I can do certain things, and I can make certain decisions in this life, but God overrules, and God's got a predestination for this person right here, and God has got a predestination for you. You might make your little small decision up and down, back and to, but God's already ordained, and God is already predestined, if you're a child of God, where are you going to? He already had something predestined for these young men to do. As you think about this. Now, I don't know where I was at. Predestination for you and your family. Now, some things we make choices. Now, Isaac makes some choices for his family, and his wife did too, and his sons. But remember, God was still in control. Remember when in the Bible, I ain't got time to read it, but you see, the elder's going to serve the younger, the Edomites and the Jews. The Jews are going to win. Why? Because God has predetermined this already. The Jews is going to win. As you look back, you find the divine plan as we look at all this. How God has already planned it all out. But Isaac and his family, I ain't get time to get into this. But Isaac and his family, you see, as I said, there's no perfect family. But we have a scheming mother. Did y'all know that? She had a favorite son in the family. And both of them was twins. Uh-oh. You mean to tell me there's some favoritism in the family? Anybody ever seen any favoritism in anybody's family among the youngins? It happens. Did y'all know that? I want to read a verse or two of Scripture. And that's in chapter 27, verse 1 through 5. And I won't get time to go very far. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, the elder son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here I am I. And he said, Behold, I am old now. I know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapon, the quiver, and thy bow, and go out there in the field and take me some venison. Go out and kill me a deer, and make me some of that Brunswick stew. I know that's what it was. Such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may be blessed thee before I die. And Rebekah, here comes Mama, heard when Isaac spoke to Esau's son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it back. She overheard what her husband, now he's going to pass on these blessings. Now the spiritual blessings and also the material blessing went hand in hand. They call it a blessing, it was a promise, and they pass this on, spiritual blessing and also material blessing. They're fixing to give Esau this because he was older, and that's the way the blessing went. But that ain't what God said. You see, that ain't what God said. God said, you know, the older, and even when it was born first, is going to serve the younger. But she overheard this, Rebekah. She overheard this, so she's going to kind of help things out. She's going to make some plans. So there in verse 6, she said, and Rebekah spoke unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying. And then she says, I heard what he said for him to do, go out in the woods and kill a deer and go back and make him some good old savory meat, some good old venison, because he loves that old venison. And she said, but I know what I'll do. I tell you, and she said, you go out there and you kill a goat. And you get a goat and I'll fix it up, you know. And she said, I'll take that goat and I'll make it taste like venison. Do you know what? Some people can do that. They can take a goat and make it taste like venison. I know George fooled David one time on that. And anybody ever eat any goat? I ate goat before. It's good. It's good. I don't see y'all. I tell you, you can bring a goat. I took and had a goat. We brought some goat out here, some barbecue goat one time. We was over in an old church, an old social hall, and it was a little small goat. And I brought another little small one out, and I tied him out there, and I barbecued that one goat. And I tell you, a little pan full of goat like that fed that whole church. Y'all remember that? They didn't want none. But anyway, it's good. Anyway, it's good. But y'all know the story, and then she starts off, though, a scheming mother. She starts lying and scheming and, you know, and being deceitful and teaching her children the same thing. And then you see her sneaky son. He went along with the whole thing. And then we find out, you know, the old father, sensual father. He was just no worldly father. Then old sorry brother Esau. And most of you know the story, how it all ends, how they tricked him and all. And all the time, God had already said how it's going to be done, and they was going to try to help God out. I wish you had time to get in this, because I kind of really enjoyed it myself, but I reckon I run too many rabbits tonight, but I ain't got time to go much further. But I appreciate it, but I just want to tell you about the family. And old Isaac, he was glad that God still loved his family. He realized, you know, the will of God in his family's life. Have you really realized the will of God in your family's life? Have you resigned to the will of God in your family's life, your life? And then have you relied on the will of God for your life and family? If people could just understand, there's no more important thing than realizing that for your families. People are tearing their families apart because they will not heed to the word of God. They will not do what God has asked them to do and come and worship and love and serve me. And their families being part, there's so many dysfunctional families. And just like this family here, because they would not do what God has told them to do. But you see what God started doing? He started putting their family back together. And that's what he can do for your family, my family. I thank the Lord. I tell you what, there's no perfect family. And you look in the Bible, you see this family here now about old Isaac. You know what? Isaac, whenever he was young, you know, and it's going to be offered up there for sacrifices. And you find out when he's old how things he messed up. And he messed up in his family life. And a lot of people messed up in their family life. You know what? All we do, we can't go back, and he couldn't do. You know the thing we can do? We can go forward. We can go forward because the plane's flying forward all the time. As I said, we can't change the course. It's already set in motion. But what we can do is make the decisions that we follow this course that God's got planned for each and every one of us. And that's called the will of God for your life. And the will of God, I found out what it is. The will of God is just choosing the things that you ought to choose. You had sense enough to choose it. That's the will of God. If we just had sense enough to choose it. And he's been good to me. I appreciate that. So, Barry, you got something for us? Appreciate y'all tonight. Invite somebody to be with us. Praying for those we have on our prayer list. And you might just want to close your eyes for just a moment and have a little silent prayer.